I appreciate what Debbie shared. Also, if you have any of those small containers that you get, like at the hotels, you can give them to Nancy and Michael, and they'll turn them into a gift for homeless people, and especially homeless vets. And if you say, well, I don't have any of those, then whatever cash donation you want to do, we feel like, even though we're a small church, we need to do something to give and to share. We attended a church service in Fort Bragg a number of years ago. And after the church service, they fed homeless people. And there was probably 50 or so people there to be fed. And so we, whatever we can do, let's do it. And do it with joy and thankfulness for what the Lord has given to us. We appreciate everyone here today. The sermon is The Roots of Joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. We're going to start reading in Hebrews chapter 12 through 15. Debbie's just referred to this verse. I was struggling with something this morning, earlier in the week. And then I thought, well, Debbie's doing something on roots of bitterness. And as soon as I had that thought, I thought, yeah, but we don't want that. But I'm going to start with it because, indeed, it's not what we want. But the very opposite of that, to me, is the root of joy. We don't want bitterness. And if I ask you to raise your hands if you've ever been bitter, and any of you don't raise your hands, I'm going to be suspect. I can remember at a young age being bitter because of being left out of the youth group because I was not quite old enough. That hurt my feelings. So we have different occasions that bitterness creeps in, but we want to allow the joy of the Lord to overshadow any of that. If you will, and this chapter 12 starts off with, therefore also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, ensnare us, I'm sorry, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We pick up in verse 12, and it says, therefore strengthen the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may be dislocated, may not be dislocated, but rather healed. Pursue peace with all people, and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. We sang that song, Amazing Grace. It's amazing, it's marvelous, it's wonderful, it's every good descriptive adjective that we can offer. Grace is so very awesome. But we want to be careful that we not fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble. And by this, many have become defiled. Where we become defiled is that we try to do things in ourselves rather than just surrendering ourselves to the very grace and mercy of God. We can't buy our way out of sin. We can't buy our way out of trouble. But Jesus has already paid the price, and our confidence and faith needs to be in him. Let's pray together. Lord, bring blessing upon your word, the whole word. Bring blessing and strength, Lord. I pray that you'll touch our hearts and allow us to be encouraged, to be strengthened, and Lord, in some way, draw closer to you. We're thankful for all that you've done on the cross. We're thankful, Lord Jesus, that you looked at the cross, and though it were a shameful and a terrible way to die, very painful, you suffered so much for us that we might be free today from the burden of sin and have hope through for eternity. And we're thankful for that, Jesus. We give you praise and glory. Amen. So we do realize that as we're on our walk for the Lord, and as we're walking, trying to walk in the Spirit, not according to the flesh, that there are times things come up and we get distracted from the grace of God. We go into something of feeling, you know, bitter and troubled by what's going on. But the Scripture says to pursue peace with all people. That's easy. Okay. If we said some people, it would be easy. Because there's some people that are very easy to get along with and have peace with. And then there are others that aren't. We had a situation on our job this week that we weren't seeing enough glue on the joists for the plywood, the flooring system to lay into. And so there was some words spoken, you got to do that. A couple times we had to remind, and I could tell that there was bitterness getting ready. But I just went around and said, look, guys, we have to do it right. Someone's going to live in this home. They're paying so many millions for the house. It ought to have enough glue. And so we were able to get through that. We have to sometimes make an effort to have peace with some people. And it's worth that. But it is a job. I'm not going to tell you that it's easy at all, that it's, there's sometimes we really have to work at that. And holiness is an attribute of God. God said, be holy for I'm holy. And because he's holy, we can have his righteousness and holiness imputed into us through our relationship with Jesus Christ. So we want to be careful. We want to be on look for anything that would cause bitterness to spring up. This scripture actually comes after Paul is speaking to the Hebrews about chastisement. And he says, no chastisement at the time seems good, but there's a benefit in it. How many remember your parents ever saying to you, do you want a whooping? Have you ever heard that? I did. Do you want a whooping? Let me tell you, today the kids may look back and say, oh yeah, if you think you're big enough. But back then, uh-uh. If one thing we were smart enough to know that if a whooping's being offered, we're real close to trouble. And it's better to behave and back off of that. Oh no. No, I understand the situation we're getting in, and I want to change my behavior and change what I'm doing. I'll stop it because I don't want a whooping. No one wants to be corrected. We live in a time where none of us want to be told we're wrong. That's hard. What do you mean I'm wrong? Sometimes, you know, even teachers and preachers and great men and women of God get upset because somebody lays something at their charge. But you know what? God chastises those he loves. And there are times that we all need to hear it. How do we hear it? We hear it from the Word of God. How many's ever read the Word of God and been convicted? And then there also is the Spirit speaking to our hearts saying, wait a minute now, be careful because your attitude is getting to be wrong. You need to stop that. So chastisement in light of verses 1 and 2 is tolerable because the Lord's gone to a great lengths to get us to a place of relationship and to be born again. The Holy Spirit and the Word are our source. You know, grouchy for Jesus doesn't work. Grouchy is not good when we're trying to win souls and be a blessing to people. When our oldest granddaughter, who's 22, was little, she was sitting on Grandma's lap, and she said, Grandma, are you happy with me? Or aren't you happy with me? She knew that she was in a little danger area. And Grandma was able to straighten it out and to let her know what she needed to do or stop doing. But happiness depends on what's happening. There are some times that we have terrible happenings in our lives. We have terrible situations and great mountains that we're facing and obstacles, and we can still have joy, even though there may not be much happiness with the way things are. So let's switch over to another thing, the blessedness of answered prayer in Psalms 30. If you want to look there now, I've been tempted to read this whole psalm. And I'm weak, and I'm going to read the whole psalm. If you want to follow along with me, you know why? Because I've got one verse that I want to zero in on. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. But this whole psalm is able to minister to us today. And it says, verse 1, I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you and you healed me. O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave and you kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I want you to know that even in the night, we're called to remember his name and to give thanks for what he's done for us and to give praise to the Lord. I think this is an absolute awesome formula to have joy. The joy of the Lord in our heart is to give praise. Sometimes it's difficult because our circumstance is difficult, but I believe with all of my heart it's a successful way to get beyond the circumstance and to endure and to get through it, to keep going despite whatever it is, because weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Now, in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by your favor, you have made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face, and I was troubled. I cried out to you, O Lord, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood? And when I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper. This is not meant that the Lord's going to be your assistant or your associate. This is meaning that the Lord is going to help you in the time of desperation and great need. He's going to show mercy on you. Mercy is not something you deserve. When we deserve punishment, the Lord shows us grace and mercy and takes away the punishment and gives us blessing instead. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. We can't afford to be silent in the light of what God has done in our lives. And he's taken away the sackcloth. He's taken away the garment that we mourn in and given us a garment of praise. He's given us the oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that we be planted in him, rooted strong, and able to raise up our praise and thanksgiving and glory and honor to the Lord. Let's now turn to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8, verses 8 through 12. This is a time where Israel was beginning to build back after their captivity. It is said that the book that they were reading and that we're going to see in this scripture, verse 8, that it was the book of the law of Leviticus. How many's ever read Leviticus? I've had more people run through the Bible, get to Leviticus, and just give up. Because Leviticus is very very legal and a lot of rules and so forth. But I want you to see what happens when these people hear the living word of God, even Leviticus, that may seem to be difficult, but it has great power because it's the word of God. So they read distinctly in Nehemiah 8 and 8 from the book in the law of God. And they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. In other words, there was the reading of the word, and there was teaching, there was preaching. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites, who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. You know, the law has condemnation and conviction. But for us to understand what God wants of us, for us to understand, if you would, even the do's and don'ts of God, it's a good thing. So someone said, "Every promise in the book is not mine because I live for the Lord." But the promises are very carefully placed. If we obey the word of God and cooperate with the word of God, then we have the promises of life and eternity. But if we disobey the word of God, in the book of Deuteronomy 28, the first, I think, 14 or 16 verses are all blessing. "I'll make you the head and not the tail. I'll set you way above everything. You will be a lender and not a borrower. Your enemies will come one way and you'll go out many ways." But there's other verses in that chapter that tells us if we don't obey the word of God, what happens? Every promise in the book is ours. And it's good to know what God wants. And it's good to know what God doesn't want in us. And to be obedient and cooperative in his word. The people wept when they heard the word. No doubt they felt conviction. And it's a good thing that they understood that and wept. But the leaders were saying, "Wait, you guys have caught on to something that's very important. And the Lord wants you to rejoice." Then he said to them, "Go your way and eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy to our Lord. And do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Joy comes when we are studying, reading the word of God. And when we come to the Lord with praise and adoration and love, and our lives are one big praise and thanksgiving to Jesus Christ. He's done enough. The scripture in Revelation says, "Thou art worthy, thou art worthy, thou art worthy." Lord God, you've created us and you're worthy to receive our praise and our honor. I want us now to go back to the New Testament in the book of Philippians, chapter 4. You probably know what's headed to us, chapter 4, and beginning with verse 4. Philippians 4 and 4 through 9. Because Paul speaks to the Philippian church to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. You know, that's an important grouping of words. Rejoice in the Lord always. Oh, we've seen some dark days. We've seen some horrible things. We've had losses, tremendous losses. We've been hurt in so many situations. But the scripture says, rejoice in the Lord always. Paul didn't want them to not realize how important it was. And he said, "Again, I say, rejoice. The Lord is at hand. And then, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." Don't worry about anything. And again, I've read this before and I told you, I worry. I know what worry is like. I'm concerned about many situations. But the scripture guides us away from worry because worry doesn't get us where we need to be. But prayer does. Pray about everything. Don't worry about anything. And do you know you can bring anything that's in your heart to the Lord? I've had the healing of a little dog's leg because I quickly threw it into a pen and it hurt its leg. I don't know if it was broken or not, but I prayed. I said, Lord, I'm so sorry that I had to hurry and I had to go pick someone up and I was in a rush. And I said, just touch that little dog. When I come back, he was as good as new. I prayed for a washing machine one time because we didn't have the money to fix it. And I was no mechanic when it come to washing machines, but we needed that washing machine. And the Lord touched the washing machine. I don't know what was wrong with it. I don't know if it was a glitch, if I just tried to use it wrong or anything. But I do know this, you can bring your heart before God, whatever's on your heart, and the Lord hears. So don't worry about anything, pray about everything, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, what things soever are true, what things soever are noble, what things soever are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. There's a lot of people teaching meditation today and getting alone and just with your thoughts. And I think that's dangerous unless your thoughts are of God. I think that our meditation should be on the one who created us, amen? And that we should be absolutely faithful to, as Paul said, the things that we've taught you. Hang with these things and let them be a part of your meditation, and God will bring peace to you. So we rejoice in the face of difficulties. When I started this, there was a song that we used to sing, "The Joy of the Lord is My Strength." How many ever sang that? Had kind of a catchy beat, right? "The joy of the Lord is my strength." Yep. And so I was looking for that, and I run across another song. And it said, it's "The Joy of the Lord." And it says, "Though tears may fall, my song will rise. My song will rise to you. Though my heart may fail, my song will rise. While there's breath in my lungs, I will praise you, Lord. In the dead of night, I will lift my eyes. I will lift my eyes to you. When the waters rise, I will lift my eyes. I will lift my eyes to you. While there's hope in my heart, I will praise you, O Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In the darkness I'll dance, in the shadows I'll sing. The joy of the Lord is my strength. When I cannot see you with my eyes, let faith arise to you. When I cannot feel your hand in mine, let my faith arise to you. God of mercy and love, I will praise you." I see such an association with really keeping the joy alive is a praise and an honor and a prayer and a reaching out to the Lord. We can't let go. Another version says, "He heals the brokenhearted and they cry no more. The joy of the Lord is my strength. He gives living water and I thirst no more. He gives me living water. The joy of the Lord is my strength. He fills my soul with laughter. Ha, 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 ha." If you want joy, you must ask for it. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And I believe that we can ask for joy, but I also believe as you praise the Lord, their joy will just come. So the song that I finally found is "The Joy of the Lord is My Strength." And that's repeated 3 times. "The joy of the Lord is my strength." If you want joy, you must sing for it. If you want joy, you must clap for it. If you want joy, you must jump for it. That one's getting a little harder. I used to jump as high as I could. Now I think, well, if I jump and I land, is everything going to be okay? The young people should jump while you can. It fills my mouth with laughter, ha, 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 ha. He gives living water and I thirst no more. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I want us to know today that no matter what the situation is, we have a strength in the Lord. And it's joy. It's joy. In the book of 1 Peter, and I'm going to close with this one. In the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1. And I'm going to start with verse 3. I haven't taken as long as normal, so I'm going to give you a few more verses here at the end. Debbie, you want to come to the piano? And it says, blessed be God, be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again in living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept. Aren't you glad you're kept? I had no idea. I heard Ron and Jim talking about how the Lord's blessed them and given them good long life. They said, we had no idea we'd last this long. I had no idea I'd last even as long as I have. But I'm glad that he's kept me. I'm glad that I have never awakened one day and not understood that God was there. I woke up some days that I had nothing good to look forward to. Believe me, nothing good. Financially devastated. Debbie was talking about our trip to Texas, but we saw the storms, but at the end of it, we pretty much lost what we had except the few possessions we had. And then we came back to California, but even in those days that we didn't have, it was scary to wake up. The Lord was with us, and he kept us. He kept us. Kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, it need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise. When you're tested, praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Christ, Jesus Christ, in whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible. I think the King James Version, this is a new King James Version, says joy unspeakable. Wow. A joy so great that it's unspeakable, inexpressible, full of glory. Receiving the end of your faith and the salvation of your souls. Wow. Joy unspeakable. Let's pray together. Lord, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for this, your people. And I pray that you'll touch every heart. Lord, we are soul winners for you by our life, by our expressions. Let our expression be one not of bitterness, not of grouchy for Jesus, but one of joy and help and strength. And as Debbie said, rooted in love. Let the world know we belong to you because we love one another and we love others. Because your love is manifest in us, we want to love. So Lord, in our reaching out to lost souls, Lord, let us realize and understand that we may be the only one that they know that's a Christian and can reach out to them with forgiveness of sin through your precious blood. And Lord, that you can bring your presence and your fellowship and your joy into any life by accepting you as Savior and Lord and seeking forgiveness of sin. What a blessing it is today, Lord, for us to be forgiven. Thank you so much for not only covering our sin, but completely taking it away. We're justified, sanctified, holy because of what you've done on the cross and your resurrection power. I pray today, Lord, that if there's any that are that feel a weakness in their testimony, that you'll bring strength to that testimony, that you'll bring joy to that soul. Lord, if there's anyone here with a need, I pray that you'll bring healing, deliverance, salvation, mercy today, Jesus. We always want mercy. We always want mercy. We pray for that mercy to just flood our souls, and let your Spirit sweep over each and every heart and every life. Lord, the breeze, the gentle breeze of your Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' mighty and holy name, and we honor you. Does anyone need prayer today? We will pray for you if you want prayer. At the same time, if you don't want prayer, we're not going to push. We're going to pray for Sister Watson, then we're going to pray for Zach. Just join with me in praying, if you will. Holy God, today we pray your touch for Sister Watson. Lord, mercy, mercy, mercy. Strength for her day. Pray, Lord, strength for this day, strength for tomorrow, strength for every day. Mercy, healing, Lord, healing and strength in Jesus' name. We honor you, Lord. Your touch is real. Holy God, holy God. Thank you for your mercy. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Good to see you, Zach. Praise your name. Jesus, I pray that you'll touch Zach. Pray, Lord, that you'll minister completely to him in every part of his body today. We honor you, Lord, that you've kept him. You've kept him, Lord God, in a terrible accident. You've kept him, Lord. I pray today that you'll give strength, mercy, and miracles. Lord, every day, give him strength beyond what yesterday was. Lord, we thank you for his life. And I pray, Lord, that you'll just minister to his spirit, give him strength in his spirit. Lord, in his mind, that you'll just bless him. Lord, you have such a great love for Zach. I praise you. I praise you. I honor you. Mercy. Mercy, O God. Mercy, O God. Thank you, Lord. You like prayer? She would like prayer. What would you like prayer for? Lord God, touch Pam today. Minister to her spirit. Touch her heart and life, Lord. I pray your grace. We know your grace is sufficient, and we pray, Lord, that you'll minister to her completely. Lord, that you'll bring strength to her body, that you'll bring healing to her soul. I pray, Lord, for your great mercy and your power to reach into her life. Lord, for those that she's concerned about, for her mother, we pray, Lord, your tender mercy, your mighty God, and your able, Lord. We honor and give you praise. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Okay. Let's join together and pray for your grandpa. What's his name?
Lauren.
Lauren? We're going to pray for Zach's grandpa. He's had a brain injury.
Yes.
We're going to pray that God will bring miracles of mercy. Lord God, touch Lauren. I pray, God, that you will, by your holy power and spirit, by, Lord, the price that you paid on Calvary, your blood that you shed, and by the resurrection power, Lord, that you'll bring a miracle of strength to Lauren and healing and restoration. Your mighty God, Lord God, we can't comprehend your greatness, but we comprehend your mercy enough to say, please help. Please help. and strengthen, Lauren, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Praise God. You're very welcome. Anyone else? Praise God. Let's just find a place to pray or just bow at your seat and let's have a little talk with Jesus. Let's pray. Commit ourselves to the Lord right now. Holy God, we bring you glory. Holy Lord. Holy Jesus. Holy Jesus. Holy Jesus. Mighty God. Mighty God. Mighty God. Let your mercy just flow over us today, Lord. We need you. We need your touch. We need your help. We need the connection with your Spirit today, Lord. Your strength, Almighty God. Holy Jesus, Holy Jesus. We honor you. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus' name. Glory to Jesus' name. Glory to Jesus' name. Glory to Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Holy God. Hallelujah. Mercy, Lord, mercy. Oh Lord, touch every heart, every soul, every heart, every soul. We honor and give you glory. We're so thankful for your mercy. We're so thankful for your mercy. Mighty Jesus, mighty Jesus. Lift up every heart, lift up every spirit. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Praise you. Mighty Jesus, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Thank you, merciful Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus, praise your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God, there's so many things, especially me, that I put off. I can put things off better than anybody I know. If there's anyone here and you've been really in a dark time or really oppressed for a long time, I want you to know that the light is here. And the light is now for you. If it were me, I would say it's coming. But the Lord says it's here. Because he is the source of all light. Last week we read the beginning. Where in the beginning God created the heaven and earth. And he said, let there be light. And there was light. It's almost to me, I'm thinking that there was this darkness brooding, you know, situation. It was just a mess. And then the Lord said, let there be light, and instantly there was a light. I can't do anything that quick, but Jesus can. Amen? So let the light of Jesus just change your life. Let him change your life, because people can't do it. We want to, but we can't. It's Jesus. We're thankful for everyone that's here. Let's just finish in prayer. Lord, we're thankful for this gathering, for your people, for this church. We pray, Lord, that we be a light to all the world, and that each one of us are a light in the areas that we are, that we work, that we go to school, whatever we do, let us be a light. And I pray, Lord, that you'll strengthen us by your merciful hand. In Jesus' name, go with us today and let us have a great time in you. Amen. God bless you.